Listener supported. WNYC Studios.
Say, love me, leave me, let me be lonely. You won't believe me, but I love you only. I'd rather be lonely than happy with somebody else. You might find the night time the right time for kissing. Night time is my time for just reminiscing. Regretting instead of forgetting with somebody else.
This is Soundcheck at WNYC 93.9 and WNYC.org. I'm John Schaefer. Nina Simone's voice accompanied a premiere at the Alvin Ailey Dance Company this year. Schubert accompanied works by a young German choreographer. And a revival had the music of Philip Glass and the choreography of Twyla Tharp working together. Music was at the heart of the dance world in New York in 2005. And here to talk us through some of the best of the year in dance is Dance Magazine's editor-in-chief and former dancer with the Tricia Brown Dance Company, Wendy Perrin. Wendy, great to see you again.
Thank you.
Apparently the big burning question of the day is sour cream or applesauce with your latkes.
I'm for sour cream.
Okay.
Every time.
Now, earlier this year, let me ask you another burning question. New York Times dance critic Gia Corliss argued that New York is no longer the capital of the contemporary dance world. She wrote that in September of this past, of 2005. Your take on that?
Well, it was interesting to read it because I've noticed the same thing myself. We've had, for instance, at Brooklyn Academy of Music, the Next Wave Festival over the last 20 years has been getting more and more European and less New York and less American. And we've seen lots of fabulous stuff come from Europe, sometimes seeming more daring and more risk-taking than what we see here in New York. So I sort of agreed with her up to the point, and it seemed to... But it triggered other ideas in me, too. And also there was a blog on artsjournal.com where, or maybe it's .org, where a lot of people had their input on this whole issue. Mm-hmm. And one of the most interesting blogs was from Anouk van Dijk, who's a Dutch choreographer, who really had a great sense of balance. And she said how she was jealous of New York choreographers because there's so much stimulation in New York. But she gets more support in Amsterdam. And that's sort of the balancing situation. And because there are fewer choreographers in Europe, they get support from their city government, their country government, the kind of support that with the flood of choreographers here in New York, we just don't get anymore.
So a New York choreographer has to balance artistic vision with making a living, with keeping the budget balanced.
Waitressing, cab driving, whatever. And but I think I still have a pride in New York as being the beginning of modern dance and the beginning of the idea of cutting-edge dance. And we've sent dancers and teachers to every part of the world, and we've planted these seeds, and now we're seeing the fruits of it. And it's not just Europe. It's Israel, Australia. We're seeing incredible, very current, edgy dance.
All right. Now, a couple of developments here in New York revolved around the opening of new buildings, the Baryshnikov Art Space and the Alvin Ailey building.
Yeah. The Alvin Ailey building was planned for years, and it's a real center of dance. There are 12 studios. It's a wonderful, warm center of things. There are performances there that aren't Ailey performances, so it's kind of a community center, too. And the Baryshnikov Art Center is really for all the arts. It's kind of a laboratory for him. He's putting together some teachers, some students, some filmmakers, some dancers. And one of the things next year that he's doing, maybe I should save to when we talk about next year.
Okay. Well, it's not that far off, just a week away. But before we move on from the Alvin Ailey building and the Alvin Ailey Dance Company, I mean, you were especially taken with the piece Reminiscent by Judith Jamison, the artistic director of the Ailey Dance Company.
It was really nice. And usually when you study choreography, your teachers tell you, do not use familiar music. Always use something contemporary or that people haven't heard of. And this piece, Judith Jamison used standards, you know, these wonderful standards like the one we just heard from Nina Simone. And it really was just the right thing. And she's so familiar with her dancers that she can draw the kind of pleasure and sass out of them that nobody else can.
Well, let me just back up. Why would choreography teachers tell their students not to use familiar music?
I think because they don't want the audience to just go tapping along, you know, row, row, row your boat, or whatever it is. That it should be if it's too familiar, you already have your preconceptions of what it is. But it really
I think a really good choreographer would be able to somehow use row, row, row your boat and do something completely provocative and new with it.
I haven't seen it happen yet, but I'm sure that it could happen. And that it actually did happen when Judith Jamison did this piece, because it put everyone in a good mood, and not a it wasn't just a single mood. It had so much variation within it. And it was so much about, well, the words, love me or leave me. And it actually begins with the Sarah Vaughan version of Love Me or Leave Me, which is more sort of calm and a little sadder. And you see all these couples mixing and going with one another, and she can't decide whether to be with him or him, and he can't decide. So you see all that. But by the end, in the Nina Simone version, it's like a celebration of how the couples enjoy each other. Mm. And the dancers really change between being almost African in their shoulders and hip movements, and then great leg extensions, and just a great feeling for the music and for each other.
Now, the Alvinelli season, it goes through the new year.
Yes, it does.
So is that piece reminiscent part of the current season?
It is, and it's one of the few premieres, and I would really say, you know, everybody go see it. The other one that I loved, which was a company premiere, not a world premiere, is called Solo by the Dutch choreographer Hans van Manen. It's not a solo. It's a trio for three men, and it's one of the few really funny pieces in modern dance. It's so quick with the legs, and one of the men disappears, another one reappears, and they do these funny, almost court jester gestures to each other, meanwhile doing all this very virtuosic stuff in their feet. And it's to a Bach violin sonata that's very, very quick. And so it was just nice to have that quick-witted kind of dancing.
Yeah, and set to music that is not considered to be all that witty. I mean, as great as the Bach violin sonatas are. Now, also, there was Sascha Waltz at BAM. I guess, you know, I mean, young German choreographer, so a part of that wave of European choreographers at the Next Wave Festival. Mm-hmm. Tell us a little bit about what he was doing with the music of Schubert and the dance and the impromptus and the whole bit.
Sascha Waltz is a woman,
Right, yeah, yeah.
And she, just to go back to this Europe versus United States thing, she had come to the United States. She had studied here at the Merce Cunningham Studio. She had danced with Yoshiko Tsuma, and now she has her own company in Germany. And she did something really beautiful with the Schubert impromptus. I was afraid, because I've seen so many European choreographers maul the music, whether it's Bach or Prokofiev. You know, I was just dreading what she would do to these impromptus, because I love them. And she had a pianist playing live, and the dancers started in silence so that they established themselves, and then the two dancers struck a holding position, and then the pianist came in. So you had room for the pianist to make the sound and hear the music. And it had a kind of darkness and yet a lightness. And there was a duet where the man and woman were so elusive and never touched each other, but just wrapping around each other. And it was very poetic, and also had its moments of humor and dunking in a bathtub kind of thing.
So the fact that there was a live performance made the music kind of a part, not just background, but a part of what you were experiencing in this.
Yeah, music. Absolutely. And it wasn't just piano. There was a flaming redhead who came out onto the stage and sang some arias. It was very hard to concentrate on the dancers during that time. but the choreographer was very savvy about it, and sort of played low on the choreography when this woman with incredible Rapunzel hair was singing.
All right. Well, here's a little bit of the music, the Schubert impromptus. We're speaking with Wendy Perrin, the editor-in-chief of Dance Magazine, about some of the best of 05 on Soundcheck. So Sascha Waltz, Waltz, her real name, Wendy? Do you know?
I don't know. Anastasia Verbotsi? I don't know.
Okay. Sasha Waltz from Germany using the Schubert impromptus for her piece at BAM. Wendy Perrin of Dance Magazine looking at some of the highlights in dance for 2005. Modern dance didn't necessarily mean brand new works. There were some revivals and a major revival in the Upper Room.
Yes. And I guess I was waiting a long time for that to come back. It was done originally in 86 by Twyla Tharp with her own company, and then she did it on American Ballet Theatre. And then I think ABT did it again in 95, but it hasn't been seen since then. And it's the kind of piece where you just sit on the edge of your seat, because everything that happens, it's like a waterfall of movement invention, and the Philip Glass music is like a waterfall also. There's a kind of constancy and continuity where you're always interested in what they do. And she has some dancers in red point shoes and other dancers in jazz shoes. And they wear these striped Norma Kamali costumes that some people hate and some people love. But to see those American Ballet Theatre dancers just sink their teeth into this and have a great time, and by the end of it, they're just wildly doing stuff that you know are mistakes, but by that point their energy is so high that you don't care that they're actual mistakes. You just care that they keep dancing and they keep coming and they keep coming with this stuff, and I just love the music.
So the music's by Philip Glass, the choreography by Twyla Tharp, and so this is not her own company. This is now her with the ABT.
With American Ballet Theatre, yes.
All right, and so they've it sounds like they've got some ownership of this piece now.
Yeah, well, Twyla's company, her company's just sometimes yes and sometimes no. It doesn't really do this anymore. But yeah, they do own it, and some of them are really classical ballet dancers, and they just get into this with the momentum.
Mm-hmm. All right, well, this is some of the music from In the Upper Room, a revival this year of Twyla Tharp's piece with music by Philip Glass. That's some of the music that Philip Glass wrote for Twyla Tharp's In the Upper Room, which was revived this year. And we've been speaking with Wendy Perrin, editor-in-chief of Dance Magazine. And Wendy, you cut yourself off before talking about something that would be coming up next year. Give us, just quickly, one thing that you are looking forward to in the dance world in 06.
It's called The Show Achilles Heels. It's by Richard Move, and it's co-sponsored by the Baryshnikov Dance Foundation. And Richard Move is a 6-foot-tall impersonator of Martha Graham. And Deborah Harry will be performing Athena in this myth about Achilles' heels.
All right. So Deborah Harry of Blondie.
Yes.
All right. She'll be Athena, and Achilles' heel is the show, and we'll look for that in 06. And Wendy, we'll look to have you back then. Thank you for joining us to look back at 05.
My pleasure.
And that'll do it for Soundcheck today. Let us know what you thought were the big stories of 05. Email us, soundcheck@wnyc.org. Monday on Soundcheck, two tragic and parallel figures in the history of British rock. We speak with John Edginton, director of a documentary on Pink Floyd's founding singer-songwriter Syd Barrett, and Patrick Humphreys, the biographer of the late rocker Nick Drake. Soundcheck's technical director is Irene Trudell. Our program produced by Allison Lichter and Brian Wise, with Robin Edgerton. Our senior producer is Gisele Regatow. Our executive producer is Chris Bannon. And I'm John Schaefer. Join us again Monday at this time for the next Soundcheck.